All right.
All right. Welcome to another episode of KC Caffeine, part of the Kansas City Alternative Podcast Network. My name is Jason, and I am here with my illustrious co-host, Mike.
Oh, illustrious. I like it.
Yes. Blue had another engagement, so she won't be here today, but we sent her all the well wishes and holiday greetings and all that stuff. It's our last episode of the year, dude. We've been quiet for a little bit because, you know, COVID hit us all in the chest.
True story. Yeah.
We're all fine. Nobody has caught it, but, you know, we're trying to social distance and do the things we got to do. I thought that for today, we would do a couple of things. Number one, I have to say rest in peace to my grandfather, Charles Gerald Manuel Jr. He was a piece of Black history. And so, I thought I'd talk a little bit about who he was, what he did, you know, what he's done. He was one of the first Black Marines. He was in the Munford Point Marines. Mm-hmm. He was also, and I found this out later on, he was an inaugural member of the Masonic Temple in D.C.
Oh.
Big deal. Yeah. Was the last surviving founding member of that particular temple as well. So
wow.
There was a lot. I feel like there's so much that I don't know. Because, like, granddaddy was just granddaddy. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't until I got older that I realized, like, how important that Munford Point Marine stuff was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was like, oh, shit. Like, mm-hmm. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
And I knew that he was a Mason and all that stuff. But, like, we didn't talk about that. That's not, like, all I knew about my granddaddy was the man that would be, you know, in the basement sitting on a chair watching, you know, the football game. Diehard Redskins fan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and we, you know, we'd go down there and be playing with the toys. They always had the toys and stuff set up. So it wasn't until I got older that I realized this man has done a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was the treasurer for his church for like 50 some years.
Wow.
Dude did a lot. Like he was so instrumental in so many things that like, this is granddad.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, So I want to make sure that before I get any further that I did say rest in peace, I'm actually going to attach on here some of our last conversations that we had. Last Thanksgiving, I sat with him and we talked about, you know, what his life was like.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to put it in a full podcast, but talking to granddad a lot of times, especially if he gets tired or anything like that, like he was like, I don't, you know, remember a lot. It just didn't, there wasn't enough for a full episode,
mm-hmm.
but I'm going to post the snippets and stuff that I have on here. And I'm going to attach that to this episode so that you guys can kind of hear from his own words at this, you know, this camp where, you know, surrounded is nothing but, you know, but Blacks in your regiment and in your area.
Mm-hmm.
But then you go out, you can't even go into town. You know, he was an officer. He was a staff sergeant. You know, have power in certain areas and certain aspects of your life, but then be completely powerless once you take that uniform off and you go, you know, you just go to get like a bite to eat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I can't even imagine the levels of bullshittery that, look, you know, I fight for these people. You know, I represent my country and still get treated like shit after the fact.
That's, yeah.
Yeah. And keep your head up during that's crazy.
And I've never known him to be angry or mm-hmm. upset, like just very positive. And, you know, like when he would answer, he'd be like, hello, that's how he would talk.
Yeah.
So like to know that he faced, like as a Black person, we know that our ancestors faced ridiculous shit. You mm-hmm. know what I mean?
Yeah, no doubt.
And to be bitter or have feelings of resentment would be natural.
Mm-hmm.
But to, you know, to hear this man talk and to see how he lived his life after service
mm-hmm.
and how he treated people, like, mm-hmm. I don't understand. Like, I don't know if I have that same, you know, restraint.
Oh, I know I don't. Yeah, I would burn that motherfucker to the ground.
Yeah, like,
yeah.
It's so, rest in peace, granddad. You lived 97, almost 97 years. So you had a full and complete life.
On the individual, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, so I still got a much, I guess, if I can help you with any way, I'll try, you know. I'll try, you know. Just, but it's hard, you know. Don't mind it, I admit. It's nothing but near what used to be.
You know? Right. I just, you know, it's... I've always known you as Granddad.
Oh, you're right.
You know, and, you know, it's not until as I've gotten older that I've realized how much history there is in just you. And, you know, knowing, being part of the Mumford Point Marines. And so I just kind of wanted to tap into some of that wisdom that I feel like I hadn't had a chance to do before.
Well, like I said, about 10 years ago, I said, I would say you were probably what we got some with a lot of wisdom. But you know, as you get old and age, you lose, you see. The same time things start drifting away where that were built, that you had built up for years, mm-hmm. over a period of time, it just starts going down as you go down, you see. So consequently, a lot of the things I would love to wish I could, you know, give me them love to say, and sometimes they get it in my mind, but just sit down and try to repeat, you know, just what was done.
Right.
Doing those years. But see, when you get in the 90s and you get in the close,
'90s. Like, you're 96.
Yeah.
So you've lived, you've definitely lived a long life.
Right. So also you can think how much you went through. When you see.
Right.
You see how much. So what you use on your mind? How you use your mind over those years? You know. It really has effect. Very few people that can sit on and really tell you exactly what happened. You know?
Yeah, I really want to know is, like, is there anything that jumps out at you? You know, when we talk about, you know, especially, you know, the military during that time, and you know, understanding that, like, you guys weren't able to really fight on your own terms. You know, you wanted to go and serve your country. And you know, and in doing so, you know, with the racism and the segregation and the things that were going on during that time period, you still loved this country enough.
Yeah. Yeah. But well I tell you what you do to help. I don't know if my daughter will get together some of the information that I had and that I have, I guess, hoping that they can use from it. Once I get a look at it, to see if it can bring back, you know.
Okay.
So maybe, hopefully, I don't know what control what she had, but the things that's been put away, that she can bring them, remind me, or bring them to my, give them, show them to me.
Okay.
And I go, you know.
Bring back some memories.
So it'll probably take us some time. You know?
Okay. But well, that gives me a reason to come on back again.
That gives me to good lives. Because I'm hoping that a lot of things.
Stop.
See my book, the ball.
Stop. Books. Come over here.
See, I've been to the different organizations that I've been involved with, and been a part of. When I see books or things like that, it brings back, you know, some
of those memories
when you see it. But just to sit down and say, I'm gonna start thinking, or you don't, because you don't have a reason.
Right.
And the old one, the new one, I'm some, you see, the old brain. So the news, it doesn't. I mean, you have to use it this way. That by trying to get it to work it up.
Right.
You know. But once it's been sleeping.
Can you remember any of the places that you've been when you were in the military? Like other countries.
No. Actually, I didn't go to many other countries myself. Because I went and started out with some of them, but then. For some reason, I turned around or reassigned, you know, that sort of thing. And most of my time was spent in the administrative type work. Yeah, that I remember when I was in charge for Montford Point. After he was going to my assignment, I was going to set up, organize the French open the camp.
Okay.
So I get charged with it. I was in the good group. And the first group in Marshall Point Camp. Well, see, the camp was not the Marines. Oh, was a large after a period of year.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because I was in that first group of men that went in. And I wasn't that one. I wasn't the only one. It was a group that went in. When they first were accepted, and I was in that first group. So,
what it is, we grabbed out a book. I'm gonna put this phone right here for you, Granddad. Let's talk about what was 2020 this year? Like,
oh man, it was a shit show.
It's
been rough.
I said that 2020 for me has had its definite shares of ups and downs.
Mm-hmm.
Globally, it was a shit show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Globally, it was terrible. But in some ways for me, 2020 has been pretty awesome. And the fact that I met some amazing people that I got to spend time with, you included. I was able to achieve some goals that I wanted to achieve, not everything I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. Launched a second podcast, or launching a second podcast. The first episode is in the can and being edited as we speak.
Nice.
And, you know, started the Kansas City Alternative Podcast Collective.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully we'll get some more things going in 2021.
For sure, yeah.
But I got, you know, the ball rolling on a bunch of stuff
mm-hmm.
that I wanted to do personally. So, you know, that part is good.
Mm-hmm.
And I also feel like I found my niche. I found what I'm supposed to be doing in my drive, and I haven't had that in a while.
That's cool.
So that part of 2020 has been good.
Yeah.
But when we pull out from, you know, just my personal life, Christ. Like,
the aerial view of it has been rough.
It started like, we had the wildfires in
Australia. That was the start. Australia as a whole was just
on fire.
Yeah.
You know, and then we were going to war with Iran. Like, so we're starting off with bang, literally. Like,
yeah. I feel like the war thing, we kind of all saw that coming at the Trump election, though.
Yeah.
we're gonna end up going to war with somebody. If we
it's just
make
a matter
it out
of
of
who.
This without getting into some major conflict, it's gonna be amazing.
Yeah, you know, and then we had impeachment, you know, mm-hmm. which regardless of your side of the spectrum, the things that happened in the White House on that call required an investigation. Mm-hmm. Did I want him out of office? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But even if I didn't, I would be like, I have questions because it's about precedent.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? It's about standing on, you know, if this is what the United States and this is what America is based on, these are the things that we have to do. So that was, you know, but that was crazy and drawn out. And mm-hmm. I watched every freaking second of it because mm-hmm. I like glued to the television mm-hmm. and then Corona.
Yeah.
And that just really, like, to me, I feel like 2020 stopped in March and went into a holding pattern.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, okay. So now we're all at home mm-hmm. and there's this virus that some people believe is real and some people think it's a hoax. And we have a president who is playing both sides,
mm-hmm.
you know, privately saying some things and publicly saying, you know, other things, because in his own words, he doesn't want to scare the American people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because we were terrified.
That was the scariest thing out of all of it. Yeah.
Yeah, and so, you know, we've got this whole crazy, ridiculous kind of battle that went globally and locally, you know what
mm-hmm.
I mean?
Yeah.
You know, of whether this thing was real or whether it was as dangerous as people were saying it was. And
mm-hmm.
it pit people in a really stark way against each other. COVID was the straw that broke the camel's back
mm-hmm.
for a lot of people. You know what I mean? Friendships that were kind of strained, maybe
mm-hmm.
that
yeah.
you could just be like, we don't talk politics, mm-hmm. you know, because
yeah.
they're over there and we're
mm-hmm.
over here.
Yeah. Yeah.
COVID happened and it was like, oh
yeah, no doubt.
We're going to talk about this shit. Like,
yeah, for sure. The number of people who, like, marriages that were hanging on by just a thread, the spousal abuse spiked like crazy, divorce rate spiked, like, shitty all around for people. Just COVID compounded that. And not a great situation.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was one of those things. I was like, can you imagine being, like, only dating somebody a few months? You just move in.
Mm-hmm.
And COVID happens,
yeah.
and now you have to shelter in place with this person you don't really know.
Mm-hmm.
It's it put a lot of relationships on speed.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you are focused. You have to spend all of your time with this person,
mm-hmm. yeah.
and you might realize, like, you don't like them.
No doubt. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, relationships have been strained.
I can't imagine a situation where you've got that brand new person in your life, and then both of you are at home because your jobs just aren't running. And now you're just stuck with this person.
Yeah.
All the time.
All day long.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, rough. I could just, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, even like longstanding relationships, you
mm-hmm.
know,
oh, yeah,
are
no doubt.
Tested when you have 24 hours a day with the same person.
Yeah.
You know, and you're just
yeah.
looking like, I don't, listen, I love you, but if you don't go away,
mm-hmm. yeah.
you know what I mean?
For sure. Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, and in between that, we had, you know, the death of Kobe Bryant and,
mm-hmm.
you know, all of that. And so it was like, it's like the death of Kobe Bryant was like the first time when I thought, I was like, oh, this year's finna go there. Like,
mm-hmm.
okay.
Now, I don't know if you remember, I was having this conversation with somebody at work the other day. 2019 and 2018 sucked too. Like,
yeah.
just, it seemed like everybody was dying off. And there never seemed to be a shortage of just like, oh, well, there's just more bullshit that we got going on. And everybody was looking forward to the next year. Was a point where people were like, can't wait till 2019 is over. 2020,
that's my year, right?
Better. And then 2020 shit all over everybody.
2020 was like, so here's the deal. We thought y'all mm-hmm. thought we was playing.
Uh-huh.
We wasn't playing.
Yeah. Now, what happens if 2021 is worse?
Listen, don't even
like,
listen.
If a year from now we're looking back and we completely forget about all the bullshit of 2020 because 2021 has been so fucking crazy.
I mean, what is a zombie apocalypse? I mean,
who knows?
Who
it could
knows?
Be anything.
Could be.
I mean, they could bring slavery back. I've been waiting on that for a few years
listen,
now.
Listen, they're
so.
Not going to get me. They're not going to get me. I can't do it. I'm lazy. I ain't.
No doubt. Yeah, you got to kill me.
You got to kill me because I'm lazy.
Or I'm going to kill as many of you as I possibly can.
Like, it just is what it
there
is.
There's no happy ending.
You know, yeah. And then, you know, and that brings us to kind of the second major story of 2020, which was, you know, the protests, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. and, you know, the deaths of Breonna Taylor and George Floyd, mm-hmm. Ahmaud Arbery, mm-hmm. like it was so that you have these two things that are happening at the same time that mm-hmm. require attention. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like there's a, you want to stay in place and be sheltered because mm-hmm. there's this pandemic that's coming. And like, at that point we didn't really know what the timeline was going to look like,
for sure.
You know? And then also, you know, you have this social unrest that is really turning into something, mm-hmm. you yeah. know? And it's like, you know, I went to my first protest, mm-hmm. you know, over that. Cause I was like, look, you know, at this point, something mm-hmm. has to change,
yeah.
you know? And, excuse me. And so it was like, you know, but I want to stay home and be safe,
mm-hmm.
but like, I don't want to be a keyboard warrior mm-hmm. and not put my money where my mouth is.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? So mm-hmm. it was like, how do you thread that needle?
That's tough. Yeah. Yeah. I think, chose to stay home but still feel that outrage are perfectly fine. I
mean, right.
You don't have to go out there and put your life on the line just cause, you know. You can still feel that way. You can still say, hey, no, this is bullshit. It's not like it's going away.
Right. So it'll still be there in 2021.
Yeah, for sure. So there's gonna be a time where you get to go out there and get on those lines and say, hey, look, this is bullshit and something needs to be done. But maybe doing it in the midst of a pandemic, that's a reasonable time to be like, you know what, I'm gonna hang back on this
one. But I also think that that was a situation where it was so egregious
mm-hmm.
that like you couldn't help but be like, oh, I have to like I watched the video,
mm-hmm. yeah,
you know, and it was like I can't help but be 100% like on the front line. Like it was a compulsion. Like I was like,
yeah.
If I don't go out there, I'm not going to be able to sleep. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, that's fair.
And
yeah.
and then watching and being able to see from the front lines what the, you know, what people were talking about, mm-hmm. you know, what, how, with the actions of the police, what they were mm-hmm. doing, you know, and I get it. Everybody's trying to, you know, they want to go home too.
Mm-hmm.
And shoot, this is overtime for most of them, you mm-hmm. know, but yeah. I will visibly remember, you know, like, standing in, you know, at J.C. Nichols Plaza, looking up and seeing, like, all the drones
mm-hmm.
around. Mm-hmm. And then, like, looking around at the plaza and seeing the snipers,
mm-hmm.
like, on the roof. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is shit that you don't see. Like, you don't see this watching TV.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see, this isn't the side that they show you.
For sure.
Like, yeah, yeah. there is a real danger mm-hmm. just standing here mm-hmm. protesting.
Yeah.
And it made me kind of like, it made me really kind of sit back and reflect and think like, you know, going back to, you know, stuff with my grandfather, what was, you know, is this what this was like? Is this what this felt like?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because like there were moments where I was like, I could really die. Like this mm-hmm. could be it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, because you had that row of police and it's, and they're sitting there and they're protecting empty buildings,
mm-hmm.
you know, while there are people, you know, like that throwing, you know, tear grenades and all of that. And then there mm-hmm. are people dragging each other out of, you know, out from the front to try to get, you know, put the milk on their eyes, from the mm-hmm. pepper spray and all of that stuff. And it was like, just seeing it was this real stark relief as to kind of what the country values,
mm-hmm.
you know, yeah. and like, I, those people who are like, you know, violence is never the answer. I agree with that.
I don't
sometimes.
Yeah. I definitely don't. I yeah. have some really extreme views when it comes to things like that. And, yeah.
But I also think people over property and
you,
sure. know, yeah. First of all those buildings are insured.
For sure.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, all that stuff is insured. So mm-hmm. they're getting paid no matter what.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are programs in place that if you do lose your business for something like that,
mm-hmm.
you're going to get a check. So
yeah,
it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but if somebody loses their life,
mm-hmm.
you ain't getting nothing back from that. Like,
sure.
You can't
yeah.
bring that back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yeah, it was, I was shocked and surprised at the amount of non-people of color
mm-hmm.
that were there, because most of the crowd, especially in here,
mm-hmm.
like, as I'm looking around, I'm like, you know, there's a lot of white folk out here.
Mm-hmm.
You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah.
And
which, even with that, I think there were definitely people who were there for the right reason.
Right.
I also think there were a lot of people who were there because that's the new Instagram picture, and that's, you know, this is the opportunity to...
Oh, yeah, I was flossing.
I was out here
I was part of
this,
the...
Look. Yeah, well, you can go fuck yourself too.
Yeah,
like,
there's definitely yeah. there were definitely some people, there were people there that were, you could tell, were there for the moment
mm-hmm.
and not for the cause.
For sure, yeah.
Because, like, you know, while they're, but you could tell because they're, you know, they got their camera out and they're flashing
mm-hmm.
pictures.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I had my camera in my phone in my pocket.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with the camera faced outward.
For sure, yeah.
You
yeah.
know. But,
this is your insurance policy.
Yeah.
No doubt. Yeah.
Like, it's
yeah.
like, if something happens,
mm-hmm.
here, it's on Facebook
yeah.
Live, so everybody can see.
Although they would definitely take your phone.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, but it was right here. You're going to see that it's,
mm-hmm.
if on you, we're
yeah.
going to see the person who took the phone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and because it wasn't, because in that moment, it wasn't about me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was about what that represented.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I'm not gonna put my face on here at all. Not because
yeah.
of any reason that, like, I care if, you know, someone sees me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because there were definitely some people who were like, I want to be out there, I want to protest, but, like, with my job,
mm-hmm.
I can't be seen doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it was like, okay. Like, I get it,
because
mm-hmm. everybody got to pay their bills.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I'm also like it makes the little glass bottle of insanity crack a little bit.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Because it's like, why do we have to do that? Like, why does that have to be a choice?
For sure. Yeah. Some companies just force people into those situations.
Yeah.
It sucks. But, you know, I can't hate on anybody who had their reasons for not going out there. And all
no, no,
stuff.
Not at all.
But,
like, yeah, it's to me, there were two good reasons. You have a job and there's a fucking pandemic going on. You
yeah.
know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
I can't protest if I'm not here. But it's also interesting to see, you know, as we move forward in time, you know, the same people who were like, I can't protest because of the pandemic
mm-hmm.
are like, I'm going to my grandma's house for Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Grandma gonna be, you know,
mm-hmm.
you say, like, I didn't go home for Thanksgiving because my grandfather died of COVID complications.
Mm-hmm.
And so there were too many people in the house
mm-hmm.
that had either tested positive
mm-hmm.
or, you know, we're in quarantine. I was like, I don't want to risk getting on a plane, flying all the way to D.C.,
mm-hmm.
doing, you know, possibly exposing somebody else,
for sure. Yeah.
you know, from somebody because, you know, Joe Bob over here don't believe in masks
mm-hmm.
and,
yeah.
you know, he wanted to just get everybody sick.
Yeah.
I didn't want to have somebody in my family get sick and I be responsible. Even looking forward to Christmas, I'm hesitant about going out of town for Christmas as well because of that same reason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all precautions aside, you know, we do the social distancing, we do the masks,
mm-hmm.
we do all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, still there's a chance.
Mm-hmm.
And I would hate to be the reason that someone I care about passes.
Yeah.
You know, and I keep that in, like, and I keep that in my mind, you know, whenever I'm doing it. Because I will be 100% honest. I'm not the best at sheltering in place.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like being around people.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I have a COVID family that
mm-hmm.
I spend time with,
mm-hmm.
you know, but we have decided that
mm-hmm.
that is a closed circle. You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
it is, we don't, and nobody coming in,
yeah.
you know, you can leave,
yeah.
but ain't nobody coming in from
mm-hmm.
to this circle.
Yeah.
So that way there is a level of, you know, we still have the level of socialization and keeping
mm-hmm.
all that. Everybody else, I tell you, know, I'm like, you can meet me. I got a Discord.
Mm-hmm.
You can hang out on Discord all day long.
Yeah.
But I get it. It's not the same.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's also a mild inconvenience, though, in comparison to the alternative.
Right.
Yeah. So, like, I get it. It sucks. Sometimes you just got to suck it up. I tell my kid constantly. She says, oh, well, dude, I want this to be this way. Sometimes you don't get what you want. Sometimes you just have to suck it the fuck up and keep moving.
Right.
That's what COVID has been. Shut the fuck up. Put on your mask. Stay away from people. I really don't give a shit if you believe it works or not. Just fucking do it. It is a really mild inconvenience for you to possibly save, protect your own life or save somebody else's.
Right.
It's still a pandemic. Like, shit's still going around. Maybe we should try to dial this back a little bit and see if we can help cut that spread.
Well, see, and my thing was, and I said this, I was talking to some friends. I said, here's what is infuriating to me. If in March we had taken it seriously and just shut down and everybody said, you know what, for 2 weeks, we're not doing nothing. Let everything stop.
Yeah.
We would be done.
Yeah.
And because like New Zealand don't have no cases.
Yeah.
Because what did they do? They said, everybody sit down.
Yeah.
Nobody move.
Yeah.
Would it suck for 2 weeks? Yeah. But
sometimes things suck. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Don't you got all them books you ain't read sitting in the house? You got all them video games you ain't played?
Well, I have my doubts that the people who were super against all of this to begin with can read in the first place.
Well, so, there's that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Get a book on tape. You figure some stuff out.
Sure.
You could have used this.
Sorry thing.
You could have used this entire time to learn to read. You know what I mean? And it's truly divided people in a way that, like, I get it in a sense of, like, you have your beliefs, I have my beliefs, and those two things are not compatible. Yeah. But, like, we can't even have a conversation
honestly, most of the conversations I didn't want to have with anybody anyway. Like, everybody became a fucking expert, and you don't know what you're talking about. The experts, realistically, they don't know how this operates. How many times did things change over the course of that first, like, 3 months?
Right.
Just shut the fuck up and do whatever possible precautions you can take. Take those. And then leave it at that. I don't care if you agree, disagree, if you think the virus is a liberal hoax or it's the most deadly thing that's ever graced this earth. Either way, just shut the fuck up and do what we need to do to get past it.
Well, like, my biggest thing was, and I kept saying, what if I'm wrong?
Yep.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like that's the biggest thing for me was, if I'm wrong, I look like an idiot in a mask for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
If you're wrong, here we are.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
I feel like it's been, you know, you see celebrities doing these, you know, ridiculous, like Cardi B having all of her family around for Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. I get it. People were tested. Yeah. All of that. You have the means to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, other people don't have that. But they're going to see you do your, you know, 28 people spread for Thanksgiving and think, well, if she can do it, I can do it. Well, you don't have the means to get everybody tested.
For sure. Also, that whole approach is the most un-American approach to this whole subject. Like, when we did our Thanksgiving celebration, none of our family showed up. Cool. That's more food for me. Now, I get to eat like a fucking king for days now because there's nobody else to eat all this.
Right.
Great. The true American response would have been gorge yourself on all the extra food and just leave it at that.
See, well, like, we just got IV catered.
Nice.
And it was me and Paul and the neighbors, and we're like, that's it.
For
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We had people calling and we're like, hey, here we go. What y'all doing for Thanksgiving? Nothing. Don't come over here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's not that we didn't want to see people, because obviously we do, but I want to see people.
That's probably the worst thing about COVID for me personally, is that it really showed me how much I dislike people. When I heard, I don't have to go deal with the motherfuckers at the drive-thru. Like, the drive-thru is too much human interaction with some of these people. No, let's just have it delivered to the house. Cool.
Listen,
yeah.
The way, you know who is making a killing off of this? Right. And I don't care what nobody say. Uber Eats, DoorDash, they are making bet. I'm not surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if somebody was like, DoorDash release the COVID virus.
If they're smart, they're figuring out the next big virus to release.
Because
I mean,
I know personally, I have spent far more money on DoorDash than I should have spent.
Yeah.
Because I'm at home. You know, it's, I don't feel like, I've been in the, like, the depression sets in.
Oh, yeah.
You don't want to go anywhere. You don't want to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I can, I got to, you got to eat food. Mm-hmm. Never mind the fact that I got, like, a fridge full of food in the house.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want none of that.
No.
I want this thing.
Yeah.
And all I got to do is tap a button on my phone, and it's on the way.
Yeah. It's great. I love like, it. Our groceries, we just do the pull-up, pick-up. Fantastic. We did do like the delivery to the house a few times. I don't have to deal with any of those motherfuckers in the grocery store. I don't have to walk into a Walmart. Do you know how terrible Walmart people are?
First of all, I say, I'm like, Corona lives in Walmart. Like, that's just where it lives.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. Yep.
Yeah, so I'm not going into a Walmart.
A Walmart and a Waffle House.
Those yeah, like that's where spots. That's where, yeah, that's where yeah. I hang out at. You, but it's...
Actually, the cure for Corona is probably in Waffle House.
Yeah.
They can probably survive anything.
Waffle House going to be here. It's going to be... Woo! Look, the apocalypse come, it's going to be roaches and Waffle Houses, and that's
no
it.
No doubt.
You think you're going to be able
to... Have you had Waffle House, though?
Listen.
It's stupid. It's reckless to go eat there.
But it's so fucking good. It's
goddamn good.
Listen, they used to, when I lived in Florida, we used to go, when we would go, we would leave the bar.
Oh, that sounds extra reckless.
And go...
A Florida waffle? I don't think I would go. No.
Listen, let me tell you. They knew our name. Like, they knew our names.
Wow.
And would have our food at the table within 3 minutes of us walking in the door.
That is, that's terrifying. I feel like I would walk into a Klan rally before I would walk into a Florida waffle.
Duval County's like, you have to go over in the hood. You have to go to the Waffle House in the hood. You don't just go to any Waffle House.
I feel like the hood in Florida might have a little less bullshit, but
it's still bullshit.
It's still bullshit, but Florida has like, Florida's been prepped for 2020 for decades.
Decades. You know, it's there it is. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it's Florida. Like, living my time in Florida lets me know that I'm ready for anything.
That's fair.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it, then I'm good. I'm good in any hood.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, that's fair. Yeah. I've been in some rough places before, but now, if you pull up to a Florida Waffle House, can we get out of here? I'm a little uncomfortable.
They put the extra crazy seasoning in it. It'd be delicious. I'm telling you, it'd be delicious.
Yeah.
But, you know, that move brings us to the election. And, you know, all of that insanity and kind of the insanity that at this point we're still really living in, you know, it's done. And I put done in air quotes.
Yeah.
Because you never know what this, you know, Orange Julius motherfucker in the office is going to do.
I feel like I've been waiting since the election results got put out there for him to tell up his followers to take up their guns and hit the streets.
Yep.
I am still waiting. I think that's gonna be his last card to play at this point.
Yeah, I don't wouldn't put it past him 1 second.
Yeah.
I think that at this point he doesn't have very many cards to play. I think he tried to play that Supreme Court card and he thought that was going to be his ace in the hole.
Mm-hmm.
And when they smacked it down, you know, and smacked it down in the most unambiguous way possible.
Uh-huh.
Like one, you know, half a page, like, we're not doing this.
Mm-hmm.
That should be the end.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I wasn't super excited about having Joe Biden as president.
No.
Wasn't super excited.
I messaged you about that.
About having Kamala Harris as vice president.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I looked at, this is where we're at. This is how we get here.
Yeah.
Let's figure this out. You know, and I went into the booth with a not necessarily a level of like resignation that this is what this is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when I cast my ballot, I was like, cool, we're good. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Just kind of left it, took it out of my mind and said, whatever happens, happens. I did what the fuck I was supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, seeing Georgia flip was, I was shocked.
Yeah.
You know, that was one of those things that I was like, oh, okay. Like, this might be this might go okay. Things mm-hmm. might be okay.
Yeah.
You know, and then Nevada and then Arizona. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, like, cool. Mm-hmm. You know, I, in my mind, like, I went to bed election night being like, this man won re-election. It is. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I woke up the next day and I was like, this man won re-election. It wasn't until they were like, Joe Biden is the winner that I was like, okay, cool.
I still wasn't comfortable.
I was still waiting.
Like, no, they're gonna fuck us somehow. This is just
something gonna happen. Something gonna happen. This ain't the end of this. Mm-hmm. And you know, until you know Joe Biden is sworn in, mm-hmm. I'm still gonna be like, something gonna happen. Mm-hmm. You know, because I don't put anything past this administration. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I don't at all. Because you've seen what they will do with power and to keep power. Mm-hmm. And that's what all of this is about. Like, I don't think that anybody in this administration gives a shit about what happens in this country, mm-hmm. you know, but what it does do is line their pockets.
Mm-hmm.
This is a money game,
yeah,
you know, and when you look at it from a money game standpoint, what they're doing is fucking genius.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. It's as long as we have this thing, we can do whatever we want. And so we're going to keep doing whatever, you know, we're going to do whatever we can to keep this in our back pocket because we can mm-hmm. do whatever we want.
Yeah.
And nobody can come for us.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
But as soon as we're out of office,
mm-hmm.
then, you know, then the dogs can start hunting.
Mm-hmm.
And what I think he's going to try to do, and this is my prediction, is get, because he can't pardon himself. He's going to try to pardon himself,
mm-hmm.
and it's not going to go anywhere.
Okay.
The Justice Department's going to say, no, we can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so then he is going to essentially hold the country hostage until he gets Joe Biden to agree to give him a pardon.
Mm-hmm. That could be. Yeah. I mean, he's got the money. He could just El Chapo that shit. It'd be a lot cooler.
I mean, it would be.
All the terrible things that people have to say about Trump, that's the one where I'd be like, hey, look, hold up. This motherfucker, he El Chapo'd it. But give the credit where credit's due. That's great. I like it. I like the big, elaborate, like, prison breakouts and all that. Let's do it. Keep it going.
Go. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
And like, then, like, release some video taunting people from your fucking, you know, penthouse in the Caymans.
Right. Like, yeah, I'm here. I'm still here. You mm-hmm. can't get me. What? Non-extradition yep. treaty. Don't know what to tell you. You know, go buy a Trump steak.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And, like, but the thing that it exposed is that, like, the damage to the country and to our norms is done and mm-hmm. almost irreparable.
Yeah.
You know, it is, you have 74 million Americans mm-hmm. who do not believe in facts anymore.
True. Yeah.
You know, like, if the mainstream media tells them the sky is blue,
mm-hmm.
they're going to be like, no, it ain't. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because that is the damage that has been done to our norms and the idea that we can't have real conversations with people from opposing views to sit down and hash out a, you know, cogent compromise
mm-hmm.
because it's a zero sum game now.
Yeah.
And, you know, Mitch McConnell is like, to me, that's the real supervillain of this show.
Okay.
Like, mm-hmm. he's the real supervillain because, okay. like, he has blocked on every turn anything that could be done mm-hmm. for COVID relief.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, we're not doing it. We're just, mm-hmm. we're not doing it. And yeah. as the fact that he, with his dead arm, was able to win re-election, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like, in a state that is poor. You know, that had super high COVID numbers
mm-hmm.
and is poor and mm-hmm. you handily win re-election. It wasn't it was an easy win.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, you, I don't know. I was like, what dark forces, what Jedi mind tricks are these people able to play to do the things that they do? Like, I don't have, I'm not that cool. Like,
Yeah. I am disappointed that Trump didn't turn out to be a better supervillain. Like, if I had that kind of money, first off, I would 100% become a supervillain. Like, that's all there is to it. I know myself too well. But I would have done some just outlandish shit.
listen, I've already said, like, don't. There's a reason I ain't going into politics, because I ain't. Listen,
I feel like I was born to be a lobbyist. I don't even give a shit who I'm a lobbyist for. Like, my soul has a price tag. I'm good with that.
it is what it is.
I will help out whoever if the pay is right. Fuck it, whatever. I can become the worst person in the
Make it
world.
work.
I like money. I like paying my bills. I want that big ass mansion. I need it in my life. Fuck it.
All right, so to wrap up, I think we covered all the bases. You know, we've done rest in pieces to all the people who died this year. There's so many of them that I can't even wrap my head around it. Because like everybody and their grandmama died. But I want to do a little thing before we move on to our ending topic. Because we're going to end on a light note. Three things this year. One thing that was good personally for you, one thing that was bad, and then one thing that like was interesting.
Can we throw in one more impromptu topic?
Yeah.
Because we got on the food topic and with Waffle House. And I feel like this is an appropriate time to bring something up like this. The McRib. How do you feel about that?
Okay, so I haven't had a McRib in like 5 years. Like, I know they're good, but the cult of McRib has gotten so big and hyped it up so much that like the memory of it is probably better than it was than it actually is in practice. Because
It's
I know
still pretty
folks
good.
who go to get a McRib 3 times a day. Like, they're subsisting on McRib.
Yeah. The large portion of my diet has become the McRib. Like, that's, I love it. It's great.
It's great. Like,
Yeah.
it's a good
Yeah.
sandwich. I just am like, I know that I'm not, in my head, I'm gonna be like, this shit ain't as good as I remember it being.
Fair. I mean, I see the fear of getting back in there at that point in time. I had somebody tell me earlier in the week that, well, you're a barbecue guy. I have to question your whole outlook on barbecue if you like the McRib. I was like, the
It's not the same
McRib is
thing.
not fucking
It's not the same
barbecue.
thing, right?
Just because it's got barbecue sauce on it doesn't mean, hey, this is a barbecue. This is barbecue.
No.
No, it's fucking fast food. It's a sandwich that has barbecue sauce on it, and it's fucking delicious. I just go there for a good sandwich.
Right.
If I wanted some real fucking ribs, I'm going somewhere else.
Right.
For
Like,
sure.
this is the McRib, and the McRib is in quotes, because that's not what it is.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
We do need to talk barbecue on here
we
sometime.
will. Oh, definitely, because
Because
I have barbecue opinions.
did you see what happened this week?
No.
Someone from Kansas City won
Oh, the
the
World Bar.
number two pit master in the world. Yeah.
Oh yeah, we definitely got to have a barbecue conversation.
Yeah.
Because I have, because yeah, being from Southeast, Carolina barbecue is my jam.
Oh my God. All
So
right.
we're gonna have to
Well,
have a debate on
this is the
barbecue.
last KC caffeine ever, so.
We'll discuss that. You need to pause.
No, just that bullshit that I'm getting phone calls constantly about.
Oh.
I've gotten text messages and phone calls this whole time.
So,
Good times.
but three things that you found that are were good. I'm gonna mix two things together. As far as like, so we can condense some stuff.
Okay, so
But
we're doing three things that were good or
one
one
part,
thing
one
good?
good, one bad, one interesting.
All right, so one good. I got a new job that has been fantastic for me.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Seems like a pretty promising spot. Definitely treated better than I've ever been treated at a job before. Love it. So that's my good. My bad. Oh, what is bad that's happened? I feel like I should have let you go first. I really don't feel like I've had anything too terrible happen to me. All right. had some medical issues kick up, but other than that, it's not really, you know, I can work through those. Interesting. Oh, I don't know. I feel like my worldview on things has shifted a bit. And a lot of it just has to do with my general dislike of people that I didn't realize I disliked people nearly as much as I do. But apparently, the large majority of those people, I just don't generally like. So I've now gotten it down to there are, it's still a decent crowd. I mean, maybe 30, 40 people that I like really consider good friends, that like these are people that I do not want to no longer be part of my life.
Right.
But prior to this year, I thought I was a bit of a people person. Now I realize I'm not. I just kind of do what I have to do to get through. And there are some people that I really genuinely like. Most people I just think are fucking garbage or idiots or a combination of the two. And, you know, yeah. That's been an interesting thing to just kind of tackle my day-to-day life. Also, the new job especially made me hate people.
Well, like, I don't think that that's a symptom of COVID. You know what I mean?
I don't think it's going away. I think I have come to terms with a new aspect of my life, and I think that is it. That's my reality now.
Well, no, what I mean is I think the COVID reveal, like, because I'm same boat as you. Mm-hmm. Like, there are... I still like being social. I still like getting to know people and all of that stuff. But I have realized that like 90% of the people
mm-hmm.
that were in my life prior to COVID, mm-hmm. I could give a fuck.
Yeah, for sure.
Yep. You know what I mean? Yep. Like, I'm like, oh, okay, cool, go. You know what I mean? Like, if I never see you again,
mm-hmm. no doubt.
It's all good.
For sure. I think it's going to be interesting to see who listens to the podcast, because those people are going to message us like, so which one am I? Am I one of the people that you can live without, or am I one of the people that's important? No, you're one of the ones that can go fuck yourself.
Go away.
Yeah, you should probably already know who you are.
Like, you should, like, I mean, in my life, you definitely know who you are. Like, if you have my phone number, or let me rephrase that. If my phone number is in you, if I don't respond with who is this?
Uh-huh.
Then you're good.
That's fair. I keep everybody's phone numbers, but...
So, yeah, no. Yeah. I just go through and go, nope, we're not doing... Because I don't have... I'm not doing all that scrolling.
Yeah, I learned in college that life is pretty heavily about networking. So, I make sure I keep a lot of people in my, you know, contacts so I can... Oh, yeah, I got a guy for that. It's really convenient. Chances are, I hate that motherfucker, but they play some beneficial role in life. So, hey, we can coexist. We can work it out.
So, you know, you're going to get those text messages.
I'll get those text messages. That's fine.
They go, like, yeah. I'm not going to get them.
Don't text message me and ask me if you are not okay with the worst possible answer. Because if you ask me that, I will tell you, no, you can go fuck yourself.
I already know the answer. And yeah. I'm not going to go fuck myself because I'm here.
Oh, yeah, for sure. No, I like you. Yeah.
But I think for me, the first thing that I'll say is good is meeting the people that I met over the course of the year.
Mm-hmm.
While there have been some, you know, jackassery,
mm-hmm.
you know, I have met a good group of people who I think that had it not been for COVID,
mm-hmm.
We may not be in the place that we're at right now. Not to say that I wouldn't have met them,
mm-hmm.
but COVID forced conversations and forced bonds mm-hmm. much faster than they probably would have in
Definitely.
You know, regular mm-hmm. time period. So that's a good thing for me that came out of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
I think something that, you know, something bad and something bad, I think, like I said earlier, the year has been a dumpster fire, but for me, it's been pretty okay.
Mm-hmm.
My anxiety came back at a hardcore way
mm-hmm.
Around, like, you know, October, November, you know, yeah, about October or so, like mm-hmm. real hard. It was like, oh, let's smack you down.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it definitely caused some rifts and some hurt feelings
because mm-hmm.
the way that I handle anxiety is I shut the fuck down.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's something. But I think the most interesting thing for me to come out of 2020
mm-hmm.
Is Dionne Warwick's Twitter.
Okay.
Because shit, this 80-year-old woman gathers the girls together.
Okay.
She is a, you know, she's like auntie, everybody's auntie on Twitter. She mm-hmm. doesn't give a shit how you feel.
Yeah.
Like she tweeted at Chance the Rapper at one point.
Okay.
And was like, why are you Chance the Rapper? We know you rap. Like, what is the point?
Yeah.
So she says that, like, there's a point when you hit a certain age mm-hmm. where you stop giving a fuck about people's feelings and whether what you say is harmful or hurtful or not. You just say it.
Somebody needs to take me out before I hit that point. So, I'm already reckless enough.
You have given a woman, they have given a woman who is 80 years old and hit that point,
mm-hmm.
who has a bit of fame,
mm-hmm.
you know, and notoriety,
mm-hmm.
a Twitter account.
She might end up president at this rate, though.
Listen, she don't. She. I'm here for president.
No, they're not gonna let a black woman be president.
That's not gonna happen. No. Just to give you guys, for those of you who aren't, you know, in the Twitterverse, some delights from Dionne Warwick's Twitter.
All right, let's see.
Someone tweeted her, "Aren't you that psychic grifter woman?"
She tweeted, "Oh God,
I'm literally known for singing." Yeah. Like, she said that Kenan Thompson has been on SNL for as long as I've been alive. She came at Wendy Williams' neck, you know, told her keep her essentially
an
told
easy
her keep
target.
Told her keep my name out your mouth.
Yeah.
But like, I'm like, it's like grandma.
Yeah.
But she, grandma who don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Who smokes Newports and calls people hussies. Let's see. Please do not bring that foolishness into 2021. That's the tweet.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, cool. Let's see. I am not fixing my typo. This is already a lot to learn. Deal with it.
Okay. I like it. I like
tweet.
It.
Like, not doing it.
Yeah.
There was one that made me fall off the ground, like fall on the ground. I'm trying to find it. I will cut this dead air out.
That's cool. Yeah.
Oh, The Weeknd is next. Talking about the mm-hmm. artist The Weeknd. Mm-hmm. It's not even spelled correctly. Like.
Okay.
Like just going in on people.
Uh-huh.
Someone asked her for to. If she'd buy him a PlayStation 5, mm-hmm. and she tweeted back, no.
Ah, that's a shame.
She was like, no.
Everybody needs a PlayStation 5.
I get it. Everybody does. But he was like, yo, since you're my auntie now, can you give me a PlayStation 5? She was, no. That's and it's, yeah. It's not that she didn't do it. It's the fact that she was like, no.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
Like, don't ask.
Yeah.
This was a sign for everybody else.
Uh-huh.
Who thought that they would be okay to ask me for mm-hmm. stuff? The answer is no. I'm not doing it. Yeah. And so that has been really kind of saving the end of 2020 for me.
Yeah.
Because I'll get up morning. First thing I do is check to see what Dionne Warwick is tweeting today.
Because
usually there's some gems in there where somebody has said something that she don't like.
Mm-hmm.
She then cussed them out.
Yeah.
Another thing for me is Cyberpunk.
Yeah.
It's... finally out after 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's great.
Yeah.
There are people that have issues with it. I think that if you bought it on a base PlayStation 4 model or mm-hmm. a base Xbox One from like 2013,
mm-hmm.
you deserve what you get. Okay. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
It's not optimized for your system. So
okay.
You're going to get what you're going to get.
Okay.
Be mad.
I got the pro, so I'm okay to go.
Yeah.
All right.
Like, fair I mean, enough. It's still, there's still bugs and glitches and stuff in it, mm-hmm. but I mean, it's
people play Bethesda games all the time, though. Those keep bugs in them.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, there's bugs in Skyrim, and Skyrim is 10 years old at this point.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean? It is what it is. Some of the bugs are funny.
The dick bug was fantastic.
Hilarious. Man, like,
it's the only time you're ever going to hear somebody say they want a dick bug, too.
Right. Like, it's amazing. And I mm-hmm. walk around Night City with no clothes on anyway, so it just is what it is.
That's fair. Okay.
I figure if nobody stops you from doing it,
mm-hmm.
don't nobody come up to you and be like, put some clothes on.
Yeah, for sure. So what, I don't even know the premise of the game then. Tell me what it's about.
So Cyberpunk is a, and this is an interesting Black history fact. Okay. Cyberpunk, the cyberpunk genre, and the cyber is based on a tabletop game.
Uh-huh.
It was created by a Black man.
Okay.
And it was created as a warning, like an allegory warning for allowing corporations to get too much power.
Okay. What was the tabletop?
It's called Cyberpunk. Cyberpunk takes place in, the original takes place in the year 2013.
Okay.
But it was made in like 77 or 78.
Okay.
And then there was Cyberpunk 32, which is like the part, this is like the second edition.
Mm-hmm.
And then Cyberpunk 77 is the video game adaptation of the tabletop mm-hmm. genre. But like Blade Runner,
mm-hmm.
All of those like soup, those like Total Recall, mm-hmm. all of that stuff, they're based off the cyberpunk genre.
Okay.
So all that created by a Black man.
Interesting. I did not know that.
And so it's, but essentially you're living in this world that is, you know, heavily corporatized. As far as the story is concerned, I don't know. I've done a really good job of staying away from stories, so mm-hmm. of story spoilers, so I don't know.
Okay.
But I know that, like, the overarching world is this world where, you know, you can get body mods, and body mods are mm-hmm. like the standard. So like mm-hmm. anything that you want to look like, mm-hmm. you can look like.
Okay.
You know, any modifications to your body, there are eyeball mods, there mm-hmm. are, you know, gun mods, there are things. So like anything that you want to do,
mm-hmm.
you know, you can change that to your body to give yourself like super speed or, you know, jumping distance and things mm-hmm. like that, you know, and you have mercenaries and they essentially go and handle shit.
Okay.
Everything is kind of run by, you have your corporations and then you've got your fixers
mm-hmm.
and they are like, that's like your mafia.
Okay.
And everybody's kind of aligned with a specific mafia.
Okay.
And they, you know, they send you on quests to go do things and, mm-hmm. you know, but everything is kind of teetering on this brink of collapse.
Okay.
The rich are super wealthy
okay.
and, you know, they live in like high rises and then you have your lower class.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're the people like, and like crime is super high.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's sick. There's you know, because medication and healthcare is only given to people who can afford it.
Mm-hmm.
Insurance, like you have your tiers of insurance,
mm-hmm.
and essentially, like your lowest tier of insurance is like we harvest your body, your stuff when you die.
Okay.
And like you can die from influenza.
That sucks.
But you know, if you've got the highest tier, you know, med.
Mm-hmm.
Insurance, like they can essentially keep you alive for life.
Yeah. Interesting.
You know,
okay.
Like they can keep you alive forever because.
Okay. So, what's the goal of the game then?
I haven't gotten as far that far into the game to know what the ultimate goal is yet.
Okay.
Cool. Because I'm playing it like an RPG, like I'm playing it like a tabletop.
Okay. Cool.
So I am because there's like 30 hours of main quest stuff, and then like 200 hours of side quest stuff.
Okay.
So I'm just kind of going in and I'm like, okay, that looks interesting. Let me go do that.
Okay.
So I haven't even like really scratched the surface of what the main story is about yet.
Okay.
It's
Ooh,
just,
I'm interested to hear about it.
Yeah. It's,
yeah.
But it's a fun ride.
Nice.
Beautiful. Gorgeous. It's a fucking gorgeous game.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got the specs to run it on
mm-hmm.
PC,
yeah.
then it's gorgeous. It's, yeah. but it's got that like kind of old film
yeah.
noir screen.
You're breathing so heavily. Are you just trying to get your noise on there?
5 minutes. I promise we're almost done.
Yeah. Actually, you wanna say what you learned about milk?
Yeah. We got a special guest.
Yeah, go ahead. Let's hear it. This is your chance. Since you've been breathing on the mic, go ahead, put it out there. Where does chocolate milk come from? Oh, you're shy now. Okay. Wow. Never mind. Stop breathing so heavy.
But yeah, it's a gorgeous, fucking gorgeous game, and I would suggest that anybody who's in the D&D tabletop anything
uh-huh.
like that give it a shot.
Okay.
I wanted to spend a couple minutes talking about our game yesterday.
All right.
Because you are a tabletop gamer as well.
I am a tabletop gamer, yes.
And we did a one shot with some friends. And
she's also a tabletop gamer.
Are you?
Yeah. Plays Hero Kids.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? Train them young.
Yeah, got to.
Yep. Train them young. Mm-hmm. But as a player, it was so weird playing the big bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
I bet it was. Yeah.
Because I didn't want to go in and say, like, obviously I needed to go in and kind of gain the trust
mm-hmm.
of the people that I was partying with.
Yeah.
You know, only to inevitably betray them.
For sure, yeah.
But it was, like, I didn't want to do too much. Like mm-hmm. I had this huge list of spells and things I could do
mm-hmm.
that I was like, but if I do too much, then
mm-hmm.
I'm giving the game away
mm-hmm.
essentially. Like, so I can't, like, I got to keep things kind of in my back pocket.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like, so there were things that I was like, oh, I can try to do this mm-hmm. to like get rid of things quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Like there was a moment where there were all of those, Durgar images there. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I could wipe these motherfuckers out.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Then I'm thinking, I'm like, wait, if I do that, everybody's
going to
know.
Just a really high spell right. flat that you're probably going to need against this overpowered party. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause the party was super overpowered.
Oh
like.
Yeah. That was dumb. Yeah.
I was like, okay. I mean, I'm supposed to be a challenge
mm-hmm.
as a, you know, as the boss
mm-hmm.
and like one round, they had me at like 2 hit points.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, crazy. Okay. Yeah. But what I did, which I, you know, will put myself, give myself a gold star for, was that wish spell.
When that's
I was
like, fantastic. Yeah.
I wished him out of existence.
Yeah.
And my thought process behind it was, okay, all these people, there's really no chance. Because at that point, I didn't know that one of the party members was actually on my side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which would have been good information to know
no
prior.
Doubt. Yeah.
But if, you know, like, there's no way, seeing what these guys have done
mm-hmm.
already,
mm-hmm.
there's no way that they're going to, that I'm going to survive too long without, you know, especially, like, it depends on initiative roll.
Mm-hmm.
And my initiative roll was real low.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, cool. Like, I had been rolling shitty all night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I was like, well, if this goes on, I'm not gonna, this isn't gonna work go well for me.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. What can I do to cause the most damage in the shortest amount of time?
Yeah.
And I saw that wish spell and I was like,
yeah.
They don't exist.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and you have to be very careful how you use mm-hmm. a wish spell.
For sure. Yeah.
You know, and I was like, okay, so if I just wish them all to die, then they're like, they're gonna die eventually.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, but
they'll
if
live
I,
a long full life, right? And they'll die of old age. Yeah.
But if I wish them to have never existed,
mm-hmm. yeah.
then you know,
yeah.
boom. Like, A, I've changed the entire timeline for a whole bunch of people.
Exactly. Yeah.
And B, like, I know that I'm covered.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Yeah.
I wish them the net to never exist.
That was solid. That was a good use. I enjoyed it. I thought it was a solid choice.
I was like,
I was fucking stunned that somebody who had been with us this whole time just, oh, this is the bad guy. This is what the fuck. I liked it.
I was trying to figure out, like, I didn't. If I had known, okay, this we're playing the game from this time to this time,
mm-hmm.
then I probably would have planned out a little bit more.
For sure, yeah.
Like more clues and things mm-hmm. to kind of dump in and.
No, that was great. Just the, hey, yep, guess who I am.
Guess who I am,
yep, yeah. That was good.
And so, like, and then you said when you were like, I'm looking for Hallis, I was like, okay,
mm-hmm.
cool.
Yeah.
All right, now I kind of know where my hook is going to be
mm-hmm.
and who is going to be the one that's going to be the most, like, this character is going to be the most shocked that they've done this.
Yeah.
And, like, having the little fiend.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that was a nice touch. I like it.
Yeah,
I like
just
it.
Kind of
yeah.
having that, like, as a pet. Like,
yeah, just a he had a pet that was a spider made out of fingers. Just crawl around.
Just crawl around me. And I was like, just having that, just kind of was like little hints and things that like maybe could give them, give you guys, okay, maybe this dude isn't like as on the up and up as he was. And then I did what I did was, after I did that last, I did something and then I sat down and closed my eyes. I took a short rest.
Nice. I
Yeah,
like it. I
like
like it.
I just was like, I'm gonna take a short rest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The character I had just got issued to me that morning, and I looked at it. He gave me like an Acolyte background, and I was like, I don't really feel the Acolyte background. But I kept everything the same, his whole religious approach to things, but made him a charlatan background. And I
Dude,
was
you were
like,
smooth as shit.
I'm just gonna do like a prosperity preacher type, like Kenneth Copeland,
That
just.
was like, you were smooth as shit.
Oh,
I was
yeah.
like, oh, this. I was like, okay. And in my head, I was like, this is why I need to get in that game that they're playing, because
Oh,
like just
yeah.
watching, like it was it like for me as a person who DMs mostly and doesn't really get to play as often, like it was like I could see this group bond, like me bonding well with the way this group's play style is,
Yeah, for sure.
and just going and doing stuff and figuring out, like I think outside of the box on a lot of stuff. I'm like, what can I do that like the DM wouldn't think about?
Yeah, I love that stuff. That's
Yeah,
great.
it's and that there was a moment, like that moment when I was just like, I grow tired of this, was like, we're doing too much, like it's we're doing too much talking. Like this, that would be something that Hounslow would be like, why are we doing all this talking? Especially for somebody who is in my domain for no fucking reason. Like, you're in my spot. I let this shit go on long enough. I'm done. There we go.
The point where you really got me in the game wasn't even when you did the big reveal and wished us out of existence. It was when you said, "Oh my God, I'm in a party with T.I." And I was
Oh.
like, so I was super fucked up the whole game. And I blanked for a second and I was like, I don't know what word I'm trying to use here. So I just said the first thing that came out to my mind. And I was like, well, that wasn't right. Fuck it. It's already out there. And then you said, oh my God, I'm in a party with T.I. Like, fuck. I was really hoping nobody would catch that. All right,
That
whatever.
what like that was so much fun. I had
Yeah.
a blast.
It
I
was a
was
good
like,
time.
but like I said, in the next game, prom that paranoia, dude.
Yeah. That's legit. Yeah.
We got it. We got to get it.
I did a one shot with some people and I had a similar situation. Like I was a spy in the group and my sole purpose to be there was completely against the rest of the group. And I lulled them all into this just, oh yeah, this is a really good person to help us out. We're on board with her. And then we got like just a few rooms away from the spot where it was really gonna go down. And somebody fell through a floor. They're trying to deal with that. My character's just gone. And they're like, what the hell? Where'd she go? And then they realized, oh fuck, she's not anything that she's been saying she is. And just derailed the whole fucking thing. And then we
Nice.
ended up doing another one shot like 7, 8 months later. And they were like, I don't know about her. Like the shit that she pulled last time wasn't exactly what was going on. So we need to watch her closely. All right, that's fine. This is a completely different story.
Right.
So I mean, do what
We
you
got
need
him
to do.
shook now.
She can beat the fuck out of all of you. So either ride with it or don't, I don't care. But if it comes down to a fight, I feel like I'm coming out on top on
Right,
this.
like now
So
they're shook. So,
yeah.
but so that was our little nerd corner. Had to get that out because that was fun, and I had to give props where props was due.
For
That
sure, yeah.
character, I was screaming. Like I had to mute my mic because I'm like, he is really giving us. What was the name of that pastor on BET Uncut? At the end, I used to be at the end of BET. Damn it, I'm gonna miss it now. I'm gonna get it when we cut off, but.
Creflo Dollar was my
Creflo Dollar,
boy.
yeah.
That guy.
I was like, if he's not giving us
Oh,
Creflo Dollar right
yeah.
now, this is amazing.
I just wanted to go for like the slimiest sounding prosperity preacher you could get, and
And you delivered
for
smooth.
sure.
I was like, this is a pimp.
Yep.
This is a pimp right here.
For
I
sure.
loved
Yeah.
it. All right, guys, that's enough. That's it for KC Caffeine this week. Don't ask us when we're coming back. It'll be in the new year. Promise. For we ain't sure. gone nowhere. Don't forget to follow us everywhere you can stalk your ex. Casey, that's Casey Caffeine on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. Don't forget to follow our newest podcast, Sex and Shade, with Jason and Mistress Elliot. That will be coming in soon, hopefully the next couple of days, and probably by the end of the week, we'll probably have that one up.
Nice. Waiting.
Yeah, that's going to be good. This first episode, we go there. But we'll be, that'll follow us on Sex and Shade at Sex and Shade Pod on Facebook. Oh, not Facebook. We don't have a Facebook. We do have a Twitter. We do have an Instagram. If you want to know about all things Kansas City Alternative Podcast Coalition, you can follow us on Twitter at KCAPC. Email us at Sex and Shade Pod for questions for the Sex and Shade Podcast. Email us at kccaffeine@gmail.com for any questions or comments on the KC Caffeine Podcast. That's all I got for you. Thank you, Mike, once again.
Absolutely.
I hope you guys all have a wonderful new year. Stay safe, stay home, and do your best. And stay woke.